The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Good morning. This is Steph. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley, broadcast every Saturday morning here on KLBB 1220 AM. But first, joining us from the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota, it's Nature's Notebook with Rebecca Coles. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey there. Well, it's that time of the year where Mother Nature's not quite sure what she wants to deliver to us. So we might have one day of rain. It might be a little rain mixed with ice. And then, of course, there's the heavy, wet snow that finally turns into snow once we get into the deep freeze. It's this time of the year that our precious evergreens really take the wrath from Mother Nature. So think about your arborvitae, some of those hollies, some of those evergreens. And when I talk evergreens, what that means is these are plants that retain their foliage all winter long. And what happens is because they're hanging on to those leaves, they actually breathe through those leaves. So for us, if we want to maintain that beautiful foliage and those plants for next year, it's really important that we provide enough water in the root system so that those plants can continue to breathe through the winter. What that means is that we should start watering our evergreens quite regularly. In fact, it's not even out of the question to put a slow dripping hose under the plant right at its root zone and just let that water soak in. And you want to do that up until the ground freezes hard. And then on top of that, what I like to do with those shrubs is wrap them with burlap or strips of sheets, and literally like a candy cane. We want to pull the branches up, tie them, so that when Mother Nature does drop that heavy, wet snow, it is not going to break the branches off of those precious evergreens. So that's a quick tip to keep those evergreens alive during the winter and get them back here next spring.
That is a really good tip. And does that keep them from turning brown? I know sometimes, in the spring.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they dry out. If they lose all their moisture, they dry out.
So the way to keep your evergreens evergreen is to protect them in the way that you suggested, with burlap and watering them as well.
Right.
Awesome. We can find out more tips like this and all kinds of things if we go on down to the farm store in Stillwater, Minnesota. I know, Rebecca, you have a really helpful staff that is available to answer people's questions about taking care of evergreens and all kinds of different topics related to nature and gardens and all kinds of things.
All kinds of stuff. It's holiday season now.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rebecca. I love it. Stay tuned for Voices in the Valley following local student news.
Reporting for the Shire, this is Alicia Utek from Matamidi Senior High School. The girls' swimming and diving team won their 14th consecutive conference title and finished off another undefeated dual meet season at Stillwater Area High School. The Ponies extended their unbeaten streak to 140 in a row, including 119 straight conference duels dating back to 2002. Today and tomorrow at the Washington County Courthouse, kick off the holidays with the Victorian-era holiday-decorated courthouse. There will be costumed vendors of art and fine local handmade crafts. Santa will even be visiting, too. Stillwater Area High School will perform the 39 Steps at Stillwater Junior High at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. today. Mix a Hitchcock masterpiece with a juicy spy novel and add a dash of Monty Python, and you have the 39 Steps. Tickets can be purchased at the door or call ahead to reserve. Tomorrow, November 20th, St. Croix Catholic School is hosting its second annual Evening of the Arts. All proceeds go to the Zach Sobieck Scholarship Fund, which provides financial assistance to family at St. Croix Catholic. On November 26th, downtown Stillwater will host Shop Small Saturday to celebrate local businesses with more than 100 independently owned shops. Store hours are usually 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., but you can visit discoverstillwater.com for more specific details. Over the Thanksgiving weekend, St. Croix Ballet will present the 26th annual Stillwater Nutcracker during afternoon and evening performances. Reporting for the Shire, this is Alicia Utek.
Paperback writer.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name is Steph, and today we are launching straight into our programming with little introduction. We have so much good good material, including interviews with Howard and Agnes, 90-year-some-old residents of Oak Meadows, and Holly Corbett from Capture Your Photos. We just don't have time to pause except to say that this episode of Voices in the Valley is made possible thanks to the support of the Helene and Swanson families, Cameron Kelly, and Lolo American Kitchen. So let's begin at Oak Meadows. This is Steph. I'm visiting Oak Meadows Senior Living to reminisce with a couple of residents. Our senior citizens have many rich experiences to share with us that would be tragic to lose, and so I am delighted to have the opportunity to interview first Howard and then Agnes from Oak Meadows. I'm here right now with Howard and his wife Virginia in their lovely home here at Oak Meadows, and Howard and Virginia, thank you for allowing me to come and interview you.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to be here. And Howard, why don't we start with a really easy question. How old are you?
Well, I'm 96.
You're 96 years old.
Right now, yeah.
I pray to God that when I am 96 years old, I am looking like you and have as much energy and just as bright and vivacious as you. So
I still feel good. I don't feel like 96, so.
Okay, so then I have to ask you, how did you get to 96 where you can say, I don't feel like 96?
I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't know. I have to pray to God to give me this age.
Well,
I have no idea.
I'm down on my knees because this is where I want to be when I'm 96.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a lot of years of memories. Howard, do you have one story in particular that stands out to you that you like to tell people?
I guess my greatest experience would be when I was in the military during World War II. There was so many experiences that took place during that time. It's hard to pin anything, one thing down.
And which armed service did you serve in?
I served in the 8th Air Force in England. I flew in B-17s. I made 35 bombing missions over Germany, and they weren't all pleasant.
Yeah.
Not sure what else.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's a lot of missions over Germany.
Yes, yes, yeah. Some of our long missions, someone took over around 9 hours.
That you were in the plane flying it.
I wasn't flying. I flew as a waist gunner and the nose turret gunner and the toggleer. But toggleer was the one that, if they didn't have a bombardier, they'd have someone that flew in the nose drop the bombs when it was the proper time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I must admit that I haven't had any experience even close to similar to being in World War II or flying in a bomber. Would you be willing to share what that's like? Is it cold? Is it scary? Does the plane rattle and roll? Or
lots of noise. They were noisy.
Lots of noise.
And
okay.
Lots of the wind. The planes had a lot of open spaces. The wind could come in. It was cold. The coldest day up there was 65 below zero.
And, 65 below zero.
Below zero. That was the coldest day we had, yeah. And we flew about, usually our bombing missions were probably approximately 25,000 feet.
Okay.
And then, of course, we were always subject to anti-aircraft fire. Shells were exploding all around the plane, and even the plane would bounce one way or the other when the shells explode close. And you could hear the shrapnel hit the plane. It picked up a lot of holes in the plane. But we didn't get any fatal hits. We had lost an engine once in a while. But we had four engines on the B-17, so we could fly on three yet. It was kind of scary. In fact, my first missions up there, the German 88 shells started exploding fairly close to the plane. I could hear them, and I could hear the, like somebody was showing gravel, a handful of gravel on the plane. You hit it, you know, you probably hear somebody throw out a window or something. you could hear that noise. And I was, what is it? First couple of minutes took me to figure out what it was. And then I knew it was shrapnel from the shells.
Wow.
And I said to my, what in the hell am I doing up here? I didn't have to be here because I volunteered for the Air Force.
You volunteered for the Air Force?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am just struck by the amount of courage it takes to do that, and to do it for, did you say 35 times?
35 times. That's we actually completed. There are a number of times we took off, and the weather was too bad. They turned us around to back.
Okay.
And then we'd probably about 10 times or 12 times that we turned around and came back, because after we'd taken off, I'd flew part of the way.
Yeah.
Because they always sent out weather planes ahead of us to see if the area was clear enough for us to bomb the target. And if it wasn't, they turned us around. And
okay.
Weather planes go out 2-3 hours ahead of us.
Okay.
So
when you're on the plane for 8 or 9 hours like that, do you eat while you're on the plane?
No.
No.
They might give us a package of gum.
Oh, well, that's
you
generous.
Couldn't, because everything would freeze solid, you know.
Yeah.
And besides, you wore an oxygen mask. You could only take it off for less than a minute, or you'd run out of oxygen. You had to live on oxygen up there to that altitude,
yeah. Yeah.
So
what is it like when you get on a plane like that? When you step, when you leave the surety of the ground and the earth, knowing you're going to go into enemy territory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm marveling at the courage that it takes to do that.
We knew we had a job to do. We just did it. I mean,
we
were afraid many times. But we did it anyway. We didn't have enough fear that we couldn't do our job. We did our job, what we had to do.
Yeah.
And we completed our mission without any problems. There were people that did lose it when they were up there.
Yeah.
But we only had one guy that started raving. He was afraid. And I shut him up. I told him to be quiet. I said, you got to act like a man. I said, we're up here. I said, he'll get us. The pilot will get us back.
Yeah.
And he did, of course. I knew he... I had a lot of confidence in the man who was flying the plane,
Yeah, you'd have to really trust your captain.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to. Because I knew we had trained with them, and we knew that they were good flyers. And so we just depended on them. And I had a lot of confidence in them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I suppose, too, after the first couple of runs, when you've dodged shrapnel and he's brought you back alive each time, that... He kind of seemed like a hero to you in a way, too, get you there and back again.
Yes, we see all other planes going down when we're over the target and stuff. They're being shot at by the Germans. We've seen planes go down, but we always thought it's going to be not going to be us, it's going to be somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fortunately, it wasn't you.
That's right.
So you had mentioned to me earlier, before the interview, that some of the stories closest to you or most meaningful to you are these stories from serving in World War II. What is it about serving that makes these stories so dear to your heart?
You never forget them. They're in your mind, and you never forget them. They come out every once in a while, even at night sometimes they'll come out and you start thinking and you can't get your mind out of it. It's just there.
Yeah.
And so I
know that I speak for so many people when I say thank you very, very much.
It bothers me to see all these protesters on television. It bothers me that they don't realize what we fought for and what freedom, what they have, the freedoms we have in this country. The younger generation just doesn't realize what this country is. But I guess it's a new generation. We have to accept what goes on.
But you know what? That new generation has so much to learn from the older generation. And Without a doubt, today you have shared many things that are of great value. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure to speak with Howard, with his lovely wife, Virginia, listening on. Thank you for allowing me to come into your home and to hear these stories. It's truly been a pleasure, Howard. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad to do it.
This is Steph. I'm now in the apartment of Agnes. She lives here in Oak Meadows and is, how old are you, Agnes?
95.
95 years old. And I just have to tell you, listening audience, she doesn't look a day over 50. I am not kidding. Incredible. I mean, you look fantastic and you have so much energy. And okay, I asked Howard this question too. How? What? What did you do? What is your secret?
I just live well, I guess. I had a good childhood, and I had wonderful parents. And my mother and dad were both barbers. My mother was the only lady barber in the United States at the time.
The only lady barber in the United States. That's fabulous.
So I, of course, followed through with going to cosmetology school and becoming a hairdresser.
Okay.
And for 30-some years. And I have a family of three daughters and a son, and all three girls were hairstylists.
Oh my goodness. All right, I'm sorry, but that's a lot of pressure on your grandchildren. Are they hairstylists as well?
Yes, my great-granddaughter is working in a salon on the east side.
So you have four generations of hairstylists.
Yes, yes.
No wonder your hair looks so good.
Well.
So, your husband wasn't a hairstylist then, I don't think.
No, he was a policeman.
He was a policeman. Yeah. Wow. And how did you guys meet?
We knew each other here in St. Paul, and he asked me. He was in the Navy, stationed in Long Beach, California.
Okay.
And after he'd been home on leave and he went back in service, he sent me a telegram and asked me if I'd come and marry him.
Oh, my goodness.
And I sent a telegram back that I would.
Oh, that's great.
So I went out there by train, which was a new experience for me.
I bet.
And we were married in Hollywood.
Woo!
My sister lived in Hollywood, and we were married in her church. And we lived in Long Beach, and we lived across the street from the ocean. So we have great memories.
Oh, yeah.
His buddies would come out, and we'd go over and sit on the beach and swim and had great times.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Now, did he end up getting sent overseas, or did he stay in Long Beach?
No, he had already done his duties.
Okay.
He'd been in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was in Guam.
Oh, my.
And so he was ready to be discharged.
Okay. Yeah, I bet. Wow, he was in Hawaii when the Japanese came and
yes.
bombed Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
Was he on one of the ships or?
Yeah, he was on the Natoma Bay, and that was a ship that was right next to the Arizona Bay that sunk.
Oh my goodness.
So there were a lot of stories he wouldn't talk
yeah.
about it.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure it was just.
Never ever told me any of the stories.
So. Yeah. I can't even imagine, so I'm sure it'd be a very hard thing to share.
Yeah, so.
Wow. This has been so interesting, Agnes. Thank you so much for sharing with me about your life.
Okay.
And your generations of hairdressers.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Started out at Newmarket, Minnesota.
At Newmarket, Minnesota, and now are they doing hair everywhere?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you, Agnes, so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
We're going to take a short sponsorship break, and when we return, Jenna, a senior at St. Croix Prep, interviews Holly Corbin.
This is Steph, recording for Voices in the Valley. I'm here at Lolo American Kitchen on Main Street in downtown Stillwater, Minnesota. And Sam, Lolo's bar manager, is next to me. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
I've corralled him away from the bar because I am curious, and I know others are as well, to find out what is happening at Lolo's with your expansion. Sam, what can you tell us?
Well, we're excited to have opened our second location in the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. We're at Concourse E in Terminal 1 at the end of the gate. It's a really nice location, beautiful bar, nice open floor plan. We're looking to bring some of our signature dishes and cocktails out to the airport for people to enjoy as they wait for their flights. And we want to bring a little bit of Stillwater out to the airport for the people to kind of get an idea as to what's going on out here.
Well, and I've heard you're also opening in the near future in Hudson as well. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, we are in the construction phase of the Lolo in Hudson. It will be located off Exit 1, off of 94, just south of Dairy Queen, near the Casanova. And we're excited. It's going to be a standalone building, part of a three-building complex that'll have off-street parking. It'll be a little bit bigger, seat about 25 more people. We're sitting at about 55 at the Stillwater location. We're going to be somewhere around 80 at the new one, but we won't be losing the cozy ambiance that we have here at the original location. We want to keep that intact.
Well, thank you, Sam, for sharing that. I also want to mention that Lolo American Kitchen supported the interviews we just heard with Howard and Agnes today, so I thank you for that. Their stories were pretty incredible, so we truly appreciate Lolo's support in helping make that happen. Listen in to Voices in the Valley every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on KLBB 1220. This is Steph. Thanks for listening. You are just tuning in. We are about to begin the second half of our show where student hosts interview our guests. Today, with Thanksgiving so close, we focus on family gatherings and how holidays are the perfect time for relatives to relive old memories and tell stories. Jenna, a senior at St. Croix Prep, joins us to interview Holly Corbett from Capture Your Photos, who will explain why family sharing is so important, how to invite family members to bring their memories to a gathering, and ways to share photos and stories. Jenna, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you back. This is your second time student hosting, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Well, you knocked it out of the park with the last time around, so we're really glad to have you again with Holly Corbett from Capture Your Photos. Holly, welcome to Voices in the Valley.
Thank you.
It's really fantastic to have you here and to offer your tips and expertise during this time of year when we really have so much opportunity to take advantage of the stories that are part of the fabric of our family's life. So I'm looking forward to this interview. Jenna, take it away.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Yes. So you have your own company called Capture Photos, which makes you a bit of an aficionado in this field of sharing photos, especially over the holiday. So I guess I'd like to begin with asking you, why, in your opinion, are photos and family stories such an important part of our lives?
Well, photos help us remember. And throughout history, photos have really been a powerful source in telling stories in our lives. For example, how often does someone show you a picture without telling you a story? Whether it's a picture of their daughter playing basketball or a beautiful sunset, we just naturally share information when we share pictures. And there's actually been some studies around families and photos and the importance. And there's one in particular that I like that was a New York Times article written by Bruce Feiler. And the article is called The Story That Bind Us. And in it, he shared some research from Emory University. And they found that the most important thing you can do for your family is to tell your stories. And they discovered that the more children and adults know about their family's history, the stronger their sense of control over their lives, the higher their self-esteem, and the more successful they believe their families functioned, which I think is kind of an amazing finding. So not only are photos important because they bring a lot of joy, but they also help us to form bonds and strengthen family relationships.
Wow. Thank you. So how do you get these conversations started about these stories?
Yeah, you know what? Just bringing them out. Bring out the family photos, bring out the home videos. It's just an excellent way to start the conversation. I had a personal experience last Christmas. My mom and my sister and I were just sitting around and we're like, hey, let's get out some old slideshows and videos that we had. And it was just the three of us to start with. And as the longer we watched, people just kind of kept wandering in the room. All of the kids and our husbands and our grandpas and all of that. And before we knew it, the whole room was full of people sharing and laughing about these memories. And it was amazing. It was an amazing family bonding experience.
I do love hearing about those stories. So what happens if you don't see your family members that often, if they're either sort of spread away and you're not able to easily access that?
Yeah. You know what? The beauty of our digital age is that we can share and communicate so easily via online resources. There are lots of online cloud accounts. There's ways that we can share, you know, stories through email. And so the first thing you got to do is just ask the question and just ask questions about, you know, say, Grandma and Grandpa, how did you meet? What are some family traditions that you guys had around the holidays? And just opening up that conversation. And then oftentimes it's funny how stories lead to, oh, you know what? I have a picture about, you know, of from Christmas back in the day, and you got to see what, you know, that was all about. And they just naturally come together.
What are different means of sharing these memories, some ways that your family has managed to keep your family's stories alive?
Well, in my particular family, I have created some family heritage albums. So albums are one way that I think are really amazing to do that. And the way that we did that was we started asking the questions. I went to my family members and said, you know, what kind of old pictures do you have, whether they be heritage photos or new photos? And we just started pulling things together. And the beautiful thing that happens in that process is that the stories come out. My aunt came when we were going through this process, and we were going through the book that I had, and we were in the final stages of it, and it was amazing how her and my mom started telling me stories that I had never heard of just by looking at pictures that I had looked at for, you know, like the months before. And again, it's just amazing how these come out. So albums are one way that you can share these. Putting together slideshows, you know, there's so many great tools and easy to do. So once you've gathered the pictures, so there's that whole process of gathering them, and you do that through, you know, you can do that through online accounts. You can do that by going to people's houses. Scanning them is kind of an important thing if you've got old family photos, and, you know, putting them together. So putting together slideshows, because putting music with photos can be super powerful and really great viewing as a family, and that bringing families together that way. Keepsakes, so there's a million ways that you can take those, you know, old cool family photos and put them together. So many digital options out there. But then there's just the keeping it simple thing is telling your stories and just gathering those photos and putting them, scanning them and putting them in one place and sharing them, you know, with family members, whether it be online through, you know, something as simple as copying them on a flash drive or on a DVD or that, and just making sure that family have them.
Yes, what I found is increasingly beautiful, as you said, is that in this digital age is it's no longer sort of bound to these physical copies of limited resources, but as you said, slideshows, or you could share them over the internet or something like that to further bind us together.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so much fun in the conversations that you have by sharing them.
Okay, I have a question for you, Holly. All right, it's Thanksgiving time. I'm going to be having, well, I'm not. Luckily, my mom is making the turkey, so I'm fortunate there. But I'm going over to my mom and dad's house and my sister-in-law, my brother, nieces, nephews, all that good fun stuff. Do you have one tip? How do we encourage them to bring stories and photos to the table? Do you say, bring your one favorite photo? Do you say, I mean, do you have any ideas for how to make this almost into a family game that you can play over the dinner?
Yeah. You know what? I think one family photo is an awesome idea. I think, you know, having those heritage photos, if anyone has those old photos, think of a photo and bring a story. And then you could go around the table and doing
share
that and share it. But make sure then that you capture those.
That's such a wonderful point. Make sure you capture, and you know, any of our smartphones has an audio device. And also you could set up your phone to video record as well. So, Holly,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yes,
and thank you as well, Jenna, for the awesome interview. Holly Corbett has the company Capture Your Photos, which can be found. Would you share your website with us, please?
Yes, it's www.captureyourphotos.com.
That's a very easy one to remember.
Yes, it is.
Captureyourphotos.com. Thank you, Holly and Jenna.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us here today on Voices in the Valley. Next week, Star Prairie Jerry and I interview Dove Award-winning musician Mitch McVicker. Special thanks to Lolo American Kitchen, Cameron Kelly of Stillwater Estate and Business Planning, and the Helene and Swanson families for their support of Voices in the Valley. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 10 in the morning here on the Club 1220 KLBB.